Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Mary Luisa Mendonça, the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, as well as a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mary Luisa Mendonça.
Thank you very much.
And do we have any updates, or do you have? I know you've been following the elections underway today in Brazil. Obviously, it's a very critical election between a very polarized left and right, with a candidate on the right who's supposed to be the front runner, who is as close to a kind of fascist as you get in politics today, at least in democratic politics. Small d democratic. Bolsonaro has to get 50% outright to avoid a runoff. So let's start with that question. Do you expect there to be a runoff election in 3 weeks' time?
Yes, I think so. I don't think he has 50% of the votes. The reason actually that he's the front runner is because Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, the former president, is in jail. And there was a parliamentary coup against former president Dilma Rousseff. So we cannot say that this is a normal election and Brazil is a democracy, because the impeachment against Dilma Rousseff was a coup because, you know, she didn't commit any crime. The parliament accused her of a very common practice, accounting practice in the federal budget. So it was a way for right-wing forces to take power in Brazil because they have not been able to win elections for over a decade. So because of this vacuum that, you know, Lula was the most popular politician, still is, even though he's in jail, also with no evidence of crime. He was put in jail also, you know, because they want the right-wing forces in Brazil couldn't allow him to run. So he's accused of receiving an apartment as a bribe, but the apartment is not in his name. He never used the apartment in any way. There is no evidence that, you know, he received any bribes. So this is not, you know, we cannot say that Brazil is a democracy now. So the fascist forces now, and the reason why Bolsonaro is popular is because, you know, since the coup against Dilma Rousseff, the democracy in Brazil is being undermined. So what we hope is that the candidate that was supported by Lula, Fernando Haddad, will get almost 30% of the votes, and, you know, together with the other candidates, then they will make over 50% of the votes, and then we're going to have a second round of elections in 3 weeks.
But has this political turmoil, does it contribute to a recent poll in Brazil that indicated about one-third of the country no longer believes in democracy?
Yes, of course. What happens is that since the coup, in order to justify the coup against President Dilma Rousseff, the right-wing forces in all mainstream media started to build this idea that all politicians are corrupt, that we cannot trust anybody. So that led people to a situation of, you know, it doesn't matter what anything that we do. So, and of course, that type of context is the right context if you want to build fascism, right? You create fear, you create a sense of that is no reason to vote, you know, that, you know, you undermine democracy. So the cynicism, the lack of hope, all of this led to this situation. Also, because the main reason for the coup was to implement neoliberal policies, far-right conservative policies that caused recession and a very deep economic crisis. Mm. So cuts in social programs, in education, in healthcare, you know, all types of investments.
Right. Well, we certainly know that from the tragedy of the fire at Brazil's National Museum.
Exactly.
You know, that is a metaphor for everything you're saying, Maria Luisa.
Exactly, yes.
Again, I'm speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, who's a director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, as well as a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. So, nevertheless, there is a severe crime problem, is there not, in Brazil? And that, of course, is what Bolsonaro is seizing on. He's even talking about, you know, he's almost talking like a member of the NRA here in the United States, where he wants Brazilians to start arming themselves. And, of course, the most outrageous things he's said is he said an opposition female candidate was not worth raping and that he would prefer a dead son to a gay son. He's walking back all of that rhetoric, but isn't his main platform the idea of – and by the way, this is typical of all fascist leaders. They always come in like Mussolini and Hitler and the guy in Turkey, Erdogan, who's, I think, very similar to this character in Brazil, is the idea that they're going to bring about law and order and stop the crime in the streets, you know. So is there an appeal to that, for that in the country?
Yes, I mean, it's really difficult for us to understand how people can vote for someone like this, right, who defends torture, who says that, you know, women are not even, you know, that talks about rape and torture openly. So, the idea of that we need more guns on the streets and all of that also has to do with the economic crisis. During the administration of President Lula and President Dilma Rousseff, unemployment rate was very low, was 4%. So we had a situation of almost full employment. There was a lot of investment in education. So young people had a perspective of, you know, studying and finding a job. And of course, now the unemployment rate is 15%. So, you know, that is a great inflation in the country. So, for example, the price of gasoline was 2 and now it's 5 reais, which is the Brazilian currency. So, you know, that of course leads to more violence, more crime. And then, you know, that is, so instead of bringing back, you know, the main root causes of the problem and understanding the social economic problems, then, you know, he appeals to fear. So, and of course, mainstream media in Brazil play a big role because in Brazil, for example, all the TV stations are far right wing. It's almost like you only had Fox News here in the U.S. So there is a lot of media manipulation and also a lot of fake news being spread on social media. Steve Bannon actually is one of the advisors for Jair Bolsonaro. So they spread a lot of fake news over, you know, Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp. So there is a lot of misinformation and a very direct campaign of fear, and people, you know, just get trapped into this situation.
Well, just in the last couple of minutes, if Jair Bolsonaro and Haddad on the other side get, you know, 30+% of the vote, and neither, they'll probably both come out pretty even, I would imagine. What is the story with all the other parties in terms of a runoff? What's likely to happen? Yeah. Will the other parties support one or the other?
Yes, I mean, we have two left-wing candidates that together have about 15% of the votes, probably. So Haddad has a good chance of winning if the right wing, you know, if things continue in a regular way, right? Our fear is that Jair Bolsonaro already said that he would not accept the result of the election if he doesn't win. So it's very similar to Trump in that way. So we need to defend democracy in Brazil. It's a very dangerous moment because, yeah, you know, we are dealing with a radical fascist candidate. And that could be a disaster, not just for Brazil, but for the whole region. So we need to pay attention and monitor the situation. Also, a big question would be what will happen with the conservative parties that are more moderate, like, you know, the neoliberal parties that, you know, defend, for example, structural adjustment reforms, but cannot defend fascism openly. This is a big question. So we don't know what's going to happen with that. But hopefully the progressive forces, you know, will be able to win and just prevent this huge disaster, which would be, you know, electing a fascist person in Brazil.
But just in the last minute, that would that mean an unlikely union of the left and the Conservative Party?
Well, the big question is what the conservative parties would do. We don't know. They haven't announced. Mm-hmm. For sure, you know, I think we have enough votes among the progressive parties to win. But, you know, the fear is that, you know, there could be something unusual happening between now and then because we are not, this is not a regular election. We are not in a regular democracy in Brazil. So hopefully the liberal, you know, the neoliberal conservative forces in Brazil would not seek this, you know, very risky path that, you know, to support a fascist candidate. So hopefully, you know, at the end, we will be back as, you know, as a democratic country, which we are not at this point.
Well, Maria Luisa Mendonça, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much.
And again, I've been speaking with Maria Luisa Mendonça, who is the director of Brazil's Network for Social Justice and Human Rights, as well as a professor in the International Relations Department at the University of Rio de Janeiro. And we're going to take a brief station break, and with a month to go before the critical midterm elections, we'll analyze the state of voting in the country following the record low turnout in the last 2014 midterms, in which only 140 million Americans voted, the lowest turnout since 1942, followed by just over 25% of American adults voting Donald Trump into the presidency in 2016.